Did you know you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio?
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or online at kfai.org.
Well, you are.
Yeah, I knew that.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, just a reminder of everybody that's on AM 950 right now, and then also all our social medias out there. Remind you, Chase Iron Eyes is on tonight, right after Native Roots Radio, an exciting show with Chase, and really looking forward to that. Hey, today we have our friends Kami and Kayla here, and I'm going to add them to the show here, and hopefully they'll turn their little mics on and cameras and everything. Great to see you, Kami. Hey, Kayla, nice to see you. A lot going on, you guys. A lot of positive stuff. Kami, let's open up and talk about what's going on down there with your organization, Owamni.
Hey, thanks for having us back again. Yeah, we have a lot going on this month, this week. First off, you know, Owamni Omni is the site also formerly known as St. Anthony Falls, where we are doing a big restoration project. You know, it's a deep cultural significance for Dakota people in the site. At the area, and just a sacred site for the people. So we wanted to kind of celebrate what was going on for the past 10 years. And so this Saturday, this weekend, we'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary and opening of our new engagement space, which is right across the street from the Stone Arch Bridge entrance.
See, I got the applause going there. That's awesome. I always like to use that button. Just that office is unbelievable. And Kayla, what's going on? You good to see you. Thank you for coming on the show. Let's talk a little bit about what you got going on with this great organization.
Yeah, super excited to be here as well. Just a lot of planning for this big event. We're super excited as a team. At the open house, we can expect to have guided tours of the site and of the new engagement space so folks can come check it out. We'll have activities, games, DIY, kind of making bird feeders to bring in the spring, which would be super fun. We're also very excited to have educational exhibits from the University of Minnesota Raptor Center. So we'll have a booth with live raptors there, as well as free food and drinks from Trickster Tacos and Powwow Grounds and a local vendors market. So lots going on, and we're very excited.
That is a lot going on, and it's going to be really good weather, so people come on down there and then also take a nice walk in the neighborhood, and the Stone Bridge is always a great place to check it out. I just got to say, and I know this is a radio show, Kami, those earrings are awesome. So anyone watching us on Facebook or YouTube or Blue Sky or X, check those earrings out, are rocking.
Thank you. Yeah, earrings are my favorite things.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about what all entailed. This snuck up on me. Did we talk about this before? Was this a sneaky thing that all of a sudden popped out on Facebook? I was like, this is awesome, that office area and that is great, and it's a landing place for people that want to come and check out the falls. It's awesome.
We've been planning it for a while now, and kind of these brainstorming, like, when should we have this big kind of grand opening after, acquiring the building and, well, the office space. And so we thought having it during the spring equinox time would kind of give us an opportunity to celebrate the coming of spring in that ceremony on top of doing our 10-year anniversary celebration. So and we're really excited to start welcoming everyone to the engagement space. This gives us a really good opportunity to host educational programs, cultural activities and classes, you know, really gives us a space right near where we're doing this restoration, a space to, you know, connect people to the history of the area and Dakota lifeways and show people what the significance of Ouaminiomene is.
Well, now in this space, is there space for people to lease out with you guys, or how does that work, or how do you share that big space you have?
Kayla, did you want to answer that one?
Sure. I think it's more to come on the leasing space. I think it's in the works, and we should have something in the future to be able to, yeah, use our space.
Yeah, because it's a beautiful space in the area down there. It's just great to hang out. Kayla, I was going to ask you more. Kayla Pollard, I was going to ask you more about the event, the spring, equinox happening at the riverfront. You know, you said there's going to be some tabling too, so I can go down and get some swag.
Yes, you can come get some swag. We'll have some of our merch. We'll have giveaways. So it should have a lot of just different ways to interact with us. Our whole team will be there. So be able to meet the team and just get to know us better and know the space better.
That's awesome. Kami, do you have anything to add to that? Because I want to get back into, because we have listeners that come and go, and mostly come and listen. But, you know, all the things that you have to offer down in that area, and maybe you can tell everyone a little bit about the area and where it is, and then also some of the landmarks that people can visit and learn more about the Dakota Lakota people of this country, or this state and this area.
Yeah, so the site is Ouaminiomene, which was formerly known as St. Anthony Falls. It's right there in downtown Minneapolis, right off of Portland Avenue. I think it goes right into it. And historically, it was a significant area for the Dakota people as like a meeting place where they gathered, and maybe they did trades with other tribes or with each other. And right just a little ways from Stone Arch Bridge, you can look and you'll see an area known as Witawinaki, which is Spirit Island, also another significant area to the Dakota people where women came and did their offerings for their birthing journeys, and where they would, some of them would often give birth in the area too. So it's a really significant sacred area to the Dakota people, and we're given the honor to restore it to as close as we can back to what it used to look like and what it was. At the same time, we're really honoring the earth and the water in that area, and asking what it wants. And so it's not really what we want for that area. It's really what the water and the plant relatives and the two-legged and four-legged animals, what they want for their area to be. So really letting it guide us in our work and what our future looks like in that area. So the engagement space is right across the street from there. The address is like 100 Portland Avenue or something like that. It leads you right to the parking lot, and then the engagement space is right there. So while construction's going on and while the restoration's going on, we'll be able to look out the window and see everything going on. And so that's really exciting. And on top of that, you know, we'll have all these cultural classes, hosting educational programs, Dakota Lifeways. There's a really nice kitchen in there now, so we can be able to do so all the YouTube videos and everything we've been doing, we'll be able to do them in person now. So that's what I'm really excited for. And we'll be able to host these year round instead of like looking for someplace, and we're partnering with other organizations. You know, we'll have like a home base now.
That's excellent. Hey, we are here with our friend Kami Weston and Kayla Pollard, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this exciting, very exciting. It seems like it happened really fast. I didn't know you guys, the organization was around 10 years, but things have really been moving the last few years, and we'll talk more about this great area and this new building and this celebration coming up. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa!
Who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come. We are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and for generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
To those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better. To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead.
To our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are with our friends Kami Weston and Kayla Pollard of Ouamni. Help me out here. I'm going to get this someday. Ouamni Miniyomani.
Ouamni Yomni Okota Yapi.
Yes, exactly. And this is a Dakota-led nonprofit, and we're talking about the new opening and then also what's happening this weekend, which is really exciting. And wow, yeah. And I'll be down there for some swag, you know that. Ho-wah. So, Kami, talk a little bit more about, you know, the vision. Now this, it seems like it's even picking up more. You have this building here. You're going to be able to do a lot of things out of there. What is the big vision with this this new building?
Really having a space where we can invite people in and learn more about the area, as well as offering, you know, Dakota Lifeway teachings to our Dakota relatives and really all Indigenous people who want to know or learn. And on top of being able to be right there, right across the street from the site. And once the construction's finished, you know, there'll be like a guided path down to the waters. We'll be able to hold educational walks. Maybe we'll do some harvesting of our plants, our medicines, and our foods. And then we'll be able to bring them right back to the engagement space where we can really deep dive into the teachings and prepare whatever it is, you know, if we're making medicine, making teas, or maybe we're preparing the food. So we'll have like an all access area where we'll be down at the waters. Maybe we'll be walking the paths in our Mother Gardens area, harvesting, you know, and then go straight back to the engagement space. So just really having a area that Owamni Yomni Okoreyapi can be physically present at the site.
So, Kami, we've talked about this before. Across the river, there was at one time an island, a very sacred island. Could you talk a little bit to our relatives listening to the show and remind them of that? And maybe someday we'll be able to restore that.
Yeah, you know, that's been in the talks also, but we're doing the project in phases. So right now we're focusing on the ugly parking lot from the Army Corps building right now. And, you know, the island you're speaking of is Witawanagi, which is Spirit Island, translates to Spirit Island. And it was a place of great significance for Dakota people, especially our women. We would go there and make offerings for our birthing journeys. And it was said that a lot of times women would also give birth in that area. There's also stories of our, you know, river spirits that would also come to the area for mating. So there's a lot of stories, a lot of history of that area. And I also hope that one day we can find the soils and the grounds that made up that island, and we can recreate that. If you're standing on the Stone Arch Bridge and you're looking towards the island, there's a, I don't know what they're called. I don't know what it's called, but anyway, you could see like it's a like concrete and rocks where the island used to be, but you can see like plants and maybe they're weeds. I can't see it from that far, but trying to grow through those cracks of those rocks. So, you know, it's a place where, like I said before, it's, you know, these plants are telling us what they want. The water's telling us what they want, along with the animals that come to the area. So we're really honing in on that and listening to that, listening to them and letting them guide us in our work.
That's exciting. And yeah, I imagine it's going to be in segments. And I'm just excited because, you know, I've heard about this project, you know, and then the name change and then the Dakota leadership. It's been fun to watch over these past few years. And again, Kayla, so what is your job with this organization, and how long you been with them?
Yeah, my job is I'm the development coordinator. And so I work on the development team. I help with our fundraising and all things related to like grants and things like that. And I have been with this team for 5 months now. So still fairly new and learning a lot, but it's been super fun and just awesome team to work with.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, one of the things I always like to do is get to a plan of action for our listeners and our watchers. Can you give the website and how people can support this and find out more information?
Yeah, you can go check us out at owamniyomniokodeyapi.org, I believe. We have all of our info on there. You can hear more about what Kami was talking about of our phases for the project, as well as links to give should you feel obligated. Should you feel like you want to, is what I meant to say.
That's exciting. And anything to add, Akami? Because it's really important. You know, we got people driving in the car, listening, working out, listening to the show. How they can support, you know, this in a good way. You know, whether it is giving, or is there other ways? Is there ways to follow you on Facebook and look at your videos on YouTube? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, there's all kinds of ways that you can support our work and what we're doing at Owamni Yomni. And we're on Facebook and Instagram and on YouTube, as well as our website. And, you know, just sharing our posts, that's one way to really support us, is just getting the word out there of what we're doing. As well as, like, if you want to sign up for our newsletters, if you go to the website, then there's a link at the bottom. Like if you scroll down the page, there's a link to sign up for our newsletters where, you know, we share basically what's going on once a month. And you'll get all the info there. One of the cool features that I think is really cool on our website, if you go to like our project, there's if you click around and you'll find like the design and what it's going to look like. There's like a before and after, really, really beautiful renditions of what we have planned for the site. And you'll be able to see the engagement space in the background, the landscape, how the really, really drastic change in landscape. And so that's featured on our website also.
You know what? I always like to talk about this too, because I learned this from our friend Barry a long time ago, is things that you think are weeds, anything that's got a square trunk is medicine. And that was something you look around and you go, there's a lot of medicines growing down there. And it's great to have an organization really point these out, because, you know, as we know, we deal with the concrete of grass in people's yards. So it's good to go, be able to go down there and check out medicines.
Yeah, we're really excited for that. And that'll be one of our cultural, like, education classes too, or maybe one of our educational walks that we'll do, especially when it comes to harvesting time. So we plan on reintroducing a lot of these medicines and foods back to the area. And so they'll be along the site, along the pathway, up in the Mother Garden area. And it'll be really exciting to be able to finally teach that. And there's other organizations that do such a great job of, you know, teaching everyone what these plants are, how to utilize them, how to identify them. But to do it at a site that if you go and look there right now, you wouldn't even think you'd be able to find any kind of medicine there. So we're really, really excited for that and to offer that for our relatives.
I'm excited because I think everybody wants to know, and everybody wants to, I guess, be taught too, not to over, I guess the words forage, I guess that's a colonized name, but our medicines we pray over, we leave tobacco, and, you know, we leave it in a better way. So it'll be great to have you guys, you know, back on and talk about how we deal with these medicines and our plants and our relatives, which, you know, that always excites me to have you guys on. We only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm wondering, do you have any last words, Kayla? Was this fun? Was this intimidating coming on the radio show? Oh.
No, it was super fun. I was a little bit nervous at first, but you made me feel super comfortable, and it's good. It's just a conversation, right? Just talking about what Alani Omnioka Deyapi is doing. So we're just super excited. Super excited for our event coming up this Saturday. That's March 21st from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We just encourage community members, neighbors, bring your family. It should be just a super fun time to get together.
Perfect. And Kami, you're an old pro. You could probably host this show now.
These days.
Always looking to pass it on. You know, I'm one of those young elders that looks for young ones to lead the way. We've been on for 10 years, and I imagine we'll be on another 10 years, but maybe under different leadership. So always good to have you on. You're so laid back and also have all this great information. Any last words before we let you go?
Just to, you know, go off of what Kayla said, come join us on Saturday and keep a lookout for what we are going to offer in the future at the site.
Yeah, I just want to say a big peenigigi. Thank you so much for coming on, and really great to see you, and nice to meet you, Kayla. Kami, you always are really patient with my pronunciation. One more time, the name of the organization.
Owamni Yomni Okorayapi.
I will grab that recording and practice next time you come on. Oh, I used to have it pretty good, but it's been a couple months, I think, since I've seen you.
Yeah, you know, I haven't been on for a while, but maybe on Saturday we'll do an in-person lesson.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Great. Well, a big peenigi, thank you so much for coming on, and let's talk soon, and I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, pilamae for having us on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Got a shop, studio, food truck, or side hustle with soul? KFAI loves small businesses that keep the Twin Cities vibrant. Underwriting with us gets your name out to listeners who care about showing up, buying local, and spreading the word.
Underwriting with KFAI is not just support, it's connection. Let's grow something good together. Learn more at kfai.org/underwriting.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we have our friend Beth Castle with the Warrior Women Project on, and it's been a long time, Beth. Really great to see you, and thank you so much for coming on. I know there's a whole bunch coming on, happen here in the Twin Cities coming up really soon, and let's talk first about the Warrior Women Project and remind all our relatives out there listening and our new listeners about this project.
Sure. Thank you, Robert, for having me. I know that, you know, Native Roots Radio and your interest in Warrior Women Project really helped us get, you know, our voices across Indian country, which I think, you know, so much has grown with Native Roots Radio, just as Warrior Women Project. And we are busier than ever right now, because isn't it not more important than ever to, we're just seeing what happens when we don't know our history, right? Mm-hmm. Like in ways that is epic. So part of what Warrior Women has done for the past 20 some years is work together with the indigenous activists, the women in particular of the Red Power movement, to tell the histories of who brought us the word indigenous, what we're standing on today, all of that deep history, especially tied to a lot of the significant events in the 70s. But right now, if we've ever needed that matriarchal wisdom, we're really working at doing that with our digital oral history collection and the building of our archive.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just to remind everyone out there that amazing documentary that you have, I don't know if you mind bringing that up and where people Sure. can see it or purchase it.
Yeah, you know, we're actually in a space where we're really trying to get Warrior Women. The documentary that we made for PBS that was co-produced by a whole bunch of different really important actors like the Vision Maker Media, Sundance support that we had, but it came out in 2019 on PBS, and you know, it features a mother and daughter, Madonna Thunderhawk and Marcella Gilbert, who are actively a part of the Warrior Women Project. That's what makes us different, is that these are all ongoing relationships, right? Mm-hmm. They're never one and done. It's the antithesis, if you will, I hope, of non-extractive, right? These relationships are ongoing. Warrior Women, the film, we'd love for you to see and use in whatever ways possible. You can access through our website, warriorwomen.org. And you can get, like right now, we rent it for a small fee. Contact us if you need it for free. We'll get it to you as well. But we're looking to redistribute it very soon on another, hopefully a level where it can get out there and be even more embraced.
Well, will there be any added segments to it? Because I know since meeting you guys, I've been to Wounded Knee, and I've seen at the time, I think Madonna was 79 or 80 years old on a horse, you know, and things like that that weren't shown in the movie. And they're still doing the work for our community as they have been for so, so long, both of them.
Yeah, I mean, the aspect of Warrior Women, our goal was always that it was the opening to this massive amount of content that we have. So that's what we're looking at doing right now. It's just that sometimes, you know, you can't tack on to a film in the way that we hope. But what we are doing, for example, one of our big projects this year that I wanted to share here is it's the 10th anniversary of No Dapple, of the movement at Standing Rock, of the attempt to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline. And we're going to be producing a short documentary that is meant to celebrate that 10th anniversary. It's going to follow the story in particular of activists Phyllis Young, Madonna Thunderhawk, Mabel Ann Eagle Hunter, a handful of the women who are interviews in our collection, right? We have a 100-person collection of Red Power activist interviews that we're making this content from. So you can expect this year a 10th anniversary short film about No Dapple, told through the history of the Red Power movement, as well as a piece on the, probably what we're hoping is a defining piece on Women of All Red Nations, which was formed in 1978 to work at stopping the sterilization abuse and also the ways extractive industries were impacting water, and all the ways in which we see indigenous matriarchy being critical to our situation today. So we have two major pieces this year coming out.
Well, that's exciting. And I need to text you and talk about some things happening here in the Twin Cities that could maybe really align with your new documentary, too. I don't know if you know this or remember this, but Native Roots Radio started because of a Dakota Access Pipeline. There was no information happening. So we're in our 10th season, too. So we started at 1 hour, and we would go to Standing Rock and see these things that either were not brought out in the media or that were just misconstrued on how they were reported. And so that's why Native Roots Radio first originally started.
I thought that was your origin story, but I didn't want to, you know, presume, because I feel like we're growing with you, because we've been in a similar way, really working to, you know, one of our first goals. This started as a history project for me, right? I have a PhD, I'm Dr. Beth, you know, when I need to be fancy. but it started because these women were interviewing with me and saying, you correct the historical record, right? You make those changes. We want to see that. I want to know that my history, if I share this with you, it's going to be somewhere that's going to make an impact. So we've always tried to balance between how do we blow up that master narrative into something that resembles a truth, when we know the entire country is literally built on the blood and bones of a history they don't want told, right? So much so that it's illegal now. But that doesn't stop us, of course. So it is the case that, you know, No Dapple and the Standing Rock movement was a really important rebirth of energy of that social movement period of the 60s and 70s. So I'm with you. Yeah. We're growing together.
I agree on both parts. And I remember having Madonna on the show, and I think you were on the show too a few years ago, and they were kind of, son, where is everybody? You know, there was a lull maybe in the late 90s, early 2000s of non-activism. And then Standing Rock happened. And, you know, people that you have interviewed over the years, including Madonna, I know she was everything from out in San Francisco with the Alcatraz all the way to Line 3 doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, it's, there's so much to be said about it. You know, we make jokes about Madonna, but realizing that Forrest Gump, as a popular cultural reference, we're losing the generation who understands, you know, why that might be funny, that, you know, she, you know, but of course, she wasn't unwittingly at all of these places. She was a master strategist behind pretty much every single significant public event and effort and movement that happened tied to the Red Power or Indigenous activism of the 60s and 70s. And, you know, it is the case that I don't think our film Warrior Women, which I love and I'm really proud of, because it captures so much of what we wanted to convey. We actually arrived at Standing Rock stuck in the film. Christina King, who's the co-director of Warrior Women, we both were like, the story that we were trying to tell had stalled because Madonna and everyone else was feeling that same kind of lethargy of where are the activists? Where's the movement? Where do people understand that this is like the beginning of something? They kicked the doors open in the movement period of the 70s, and we have to walk through them. And that Standing Rock was part of that, I think, showing up. And it's something we need now too, right? Because this is the nature of movements. The second they get heavy and real, then the repression is tenfold. So we know that's happening.
I like what I learned from the Warrior Woman Project and is all these women during the Red Power movement and early years of AIM were really the people in the background doing all the work, and not some of the work, all of the work. And that was something at my age I was able to learn through the Warrior Woman Project, just by not only, you know, the stories, but just happenstance of the stories, meaning that there was a lot of humility in the stories.
Yeah, it's a really challenging thing at the end of the day, because part of what my goal with Warrior Women Project as well, is how do we change the way we even look at and understand what is history, right? Not in the way that people are attacking it now, who want to use history as nothing more than a propaganda tool, right? But if you want to tell the truth, how do you make the space for people to be understood in their own worldview? And that's what it took to like express that it's not just that women did things too. It's that without women, we wouldn't have transformed the landscape in the way that we did. So it's like the language is really limiting, right? Like background or backbone often means that you're not as prominent or not as important, and that we often think about things in hierarchies, but they're big ecosystems and everyone plays a role.
Well, we just got a minute left in this segment, and I want to talk about this a couple times, but there's some things that are happening here in the Twin Cities. Do you mind bringing that up? And then I want to talk about it again in the next segment.
Sure. So what's happening is that we have one of our educational pieces that we created that you were a part of is the 50th anniversary exhibit honoring the women of Wounded Knee. And it's an exhibit that will be showing at the Fairview Riverside Hospital, sponsored by the Indigenous Healing Circle. And I can talk more about that in the next segment. Is that?
Yeah, definitely.
Or should I keep going?
Yeah, well, we got about a minute left here in this segment. Yeah, and I'd love to talk about it even more. But that's amazing. And you know, I had a chance to work with you in the 50th anniversary of Wounded Knee, and just seeing history. I love history for one, and I love documentaries, but just to see history come alive and these people, you know, were ordinary people that did extraordinary things. And it's just amazing. Well, let's take a quick break, Dr. Beth. And great to see you. This has been really cool. And we're going to take a quick break. And we're talking with Beth Castle, a director of Warrior Women Project. And we're going to talk about more about Warrior Women Project and what's happening here in the Twin Cities this weekend, I think. We'll be right back after the short break. Oh, wow.
Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Oh.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We were with our friend, Dr. Beth Castle, director of Warrior Women Projects. And before we get going on what's happening here this weekend, we have something that we want to talk about that's happening on March 31st. And I wonder if you mind letting our listeners know, because we're all over Turtle Island, and I think this is really important to talk about as you do.
Yeah, I appreciate that, because there's a woman who we met through your show. We never would have encountered her if she hadn't, I think she just called in. And this was early on when you were just kind of gathering people on Zoom, it felt like, and we were having good conversations. But she is an activist who showed up. She was part of Wounded Knee and the liberation of Wounded Knee in 1973. Her name is Lavetta Yego. Yigu. I did it wrong, even though her daughter was training with me earlier. Lavetta called in. We were able to do an interview with her, and then she showed up at the 50th anniversary exhibit space where we were on, you know, it was at March or February 27th, 2023. And she was part of a round table that you helped facilitate. And I remember she bought me a blanket that I sleep under every night. Sadly, yeah, she was so sweet. And Lovetta walked on this past year, and she passed away. And it was very unfortunate too, because we wanted to reconnect and learn more from her. I'm hoping we can continue to do that with her daughter, Amber, who's helped to organize, along with the Kiowa tribe, a day of honoring and recognition. It's actually Lovetta Yigu's celebrating her day, the entire day. There's an event the 5th to the 8th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, March 31st. And we'll be able to share some more information on our website, and I could share it with you as well. But part of why I wanted to bring it up is that she just told the most powerful story. When we got on the Zoom call with her to do an interview, because we couldn't do it in person, it wasn't safe because of COVID. Right. She sang the Ames song. I hadn't even said hello to her. I hadn't known her in any other way, but she just really told the most powerful, raw story of what it was like to be a really young person and step into this space and be part of the 71-day occupation. And she was there every day. And so that's one of the ways in which, like, just this, how important this community space is that you've created. I just wanted to bring that back, because to see more and more women, and I know there's more out there, contact us. We want to do your oral history and help see that you're part of the larger historical narrative, and see that this goes back to your communities. And that brings us back to this traveling exhibit that we've created, and she's one of the panels on the exhibit.
Yeah, it's amazing too. And the people that were there are still doing things, like Stephanie Autumn, who is also a young person. She's still working right now with women prisoners and helping them. I mean, I guess the fire, the amber is still bright with a lot of our relatives that went through all this all these years ago too, that are still doing it.
I mean, that's the thing that is so important, is, you know, you're not a movement activist. You don't retire, right? Like, and also there's no pension in the movement. So we need to look at ways we can take care of these elders who put everything on the line in really uncomfortable situations. They also stood up to their own tribes, right? Mm. Often to corrupt leaders in their tribes, which is another thing that, you know, is a challenge to handle. But, you know, that's the part of this, is that one of the things I pride about what we're doing with Warrior Women Project is we're activating our archives, right? Like, that sounds like the flash word and the hashtag or whatever, but it's just real. It's just that we always need our history immediately, right? It's never something that goes into a history book that goes on a shelf that isn't engaged with. Like, those lessons have to be immediate. And so often we don't listen to our mothers in the same way, you know? And so they have these stories. And I'm so glad that Lovetta shared her story and became part of something bigger in that way. But we have yet, you know, there's so much more we need to know. Come as an Oklahoma, you know, tribal person, what can we learn from her? Because there were quite a few women, you know, like Frances Wise, who is from Oklahoma as well, who played a really important role in the American Indian Movement and Women of All Red Nations. So, you know, it's really awesome to see these connections be made, and definitely have, like, her daughter, who I don't know that well yet, but I'm hoping we can connect more in how we continue to help tell the history of her mom and the people that she knew, because that's how it works, right? Like, it's family based. Mm-hmm. You find one person and then you expand out to see who else did organizing that made it possible for you to go out and do what you did in the day. So
awe-inspiring. And let's talk a little bit again about the display that's going to be at, is it Fairview that's going to be at?
Yeah. You know, this is something it's been organized by Wyatt Pickner and Heather Fahey. I'm hoping I've said her name right. We made a connection locally when we did an event where we were supporting and bringing together some of the women of all Red Nations, including Winona LaDuke, Lisa Bellinger, Nancy Shippentower, Lakota Hardin, a number of people. This was back in October, and we met Heather there. And she's part of the Indigenous Healing Circle. I believe it's an employee group within the, and I'll stand to be corrected if I need to, because I don't want to misrepresent anything, but they basically did what we were hoping, which was invite and bring the exhibit to Fairview Riverside in the West Building, and it'll be there from March 20th to April 1st, and anyone can come and engage with it. There's a reception on Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. this Friday, the 20th. But part of this, and you mentioned Stephanie Autumn earlier, Lisa Bellinger, who yep. is a pretty, you know, well-known local activist whose mother, Pat Bellinger, was one of the co-founders of WARN, Women of All Red Nations, and the American mm-hmm. Indian Movement, are going to host this 16-panel exhibit that we created those years ago so that we could see that this, and each panel is an interview that's in our collection. And it's a brief bit about the story of that woman, and it's a 3x7-foot panel. And then you can use it, you know, a QR code, or be instructed on how you can see on our website. You can listen to the clip of the interview that's relevant. So it's a very interactive experience, and it is meticulously researched. So unlike a lot of things where you're like, often people said it and they meant, you know, women were there and they did this and they did that, but who were they? When were they born? What else did they do? What right. were their lives like, right? So that's what we try to do with this exhibit. And also the thing that we're so proud of is that it is a handful of folks who identified as American Indian Movement activists, members, leaders, being part of the movement. But many of the women here are what we call the matriarchs of Pine Ridge, who were the, you know, middle-aged women who were holding it down and pushing back against the corruption that was happening locally. So, you know, it's a very powerful exhibit, and we're hoping, especially as it's based in Minneapolis right now, that it gets out mm-hmm. to a lot more areas and that it can be seen and other people want to take it on and show it and engage with it.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know Heather very well. She's been on the show. As a matter of fact, I reached out right. to Heather, and she has pneumonia right now. And then I thought, well, let's call Dr. Beth Castle. I haven't talked to you in a while. And I am so glad that we talked, because we need to do this more often. And one more time about the exhibit in Minneapolis.
The Women of Wounded Knee exhibit, March 20th through April 1st, will be at Fairview Riverside West Building, available to the public to view. And you can find out more at warriorwomen.org. And we really invite you to join our mailing list. We really want to be able to be in direct communication with you. So all of those can be found at warriorwomen.org.
Well, thank you so much. Beth, do you mind holding on after the show? I just want to ask you something really quick. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coop, the ground on which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and vote. We'll be here tomorrow. This has been Native Roots Radio.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting Yagodi, Tuesday, April 7th. Since 2016, four-piece female folk group Yagodi has been performing traditional and contemporary music filled with Ukrainian and Balkan motifs. The band formed out of the Ukrainian theater tradition, being actors that turn their stagecraft to music. Also appearing are Ukrainian Village Band. More information about Yagodi with the Ukrainian Village Band is available at thecedar.org.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh! Ah!
I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years and is a co-founder of Native Roots Radio. And we're in our 10th season. And welcome, Wendy. A lot to talk about today.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega, Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. And I will be at the state capitol tomorrow talking to my senator and representative about a few different bills that we want to have passed. And these are humane bills that we want to have passed in Minnesota. But before I get to that, I want to talk about what happened yesterday at Ridgeland. It's R-I-D-G-L-A-N, Ridgeland Farms. And they're located in Dane, Blue Mounds, Wisconsin. Now, what this place is, it's Ridgeland Farm Incorporated. They are a place, a facility that breeds beagles. They breed beagles in order to experiment on them, and they breed beagles for other places to use for experimentation. A whole group of wonderful, brave, courageous animal advocates went there yesterday, Blue Mounds, Wisconsin, to the Ridgeland facility, broke in, and started taking the beagles out and bringing them to freedom. But before I want, before I say that, I just want to say that this place, Ridgeland Farms Incorporated, has been cited for hundreds and numerous animal cruelty charges, and they are due to shut down July 1st. But in the meantime, guess what? They get to continue their breeding program and their experimentations on these poor dogs. So
another 4 months.
Exactly. I want to give a shout out again to these fantastic animal advocates that were so brave. There were so many of them. I saw somewhere where they said that there was close to 100 people there just trying to get these dogs out. The good news is they got 22 to 23 dogs in a rescue house, and they are safe and they're being cared for. The bad news is that the police came, started arresting the animal advocates and took 8 of the dogs.
Yeah.
So they took 8 of the dogs. We don't know what they're doing with the dogs. And we are all calling. Like today I called the Dane County Sheriff's Office, and I asked them, hey, please release these 8 dogs. You could call them too if you want. They're open tomorrow. I believe you could leave a message as well. I'll give you their phone number in a minute. Get you a second to get a pen. But you could just Google Dane County Sheriff's Office. Their phone number is 608-284-6800. And just call them and say, please release these 8 beagles to adoption. These 8 beagles were taken from activists while they were carrying them to safety, and just let them know that this is important to you. And see, did you need that number again?
Yeah,
Robert?
Please.
Yeah, the number is 608-284-6800. You know, it was funny. I went on, I just Googled it. I can't even say it. It's Ridgeland, R-I-D-G-L-A-N. Ridgeland Farms Incorporated. So this is what their website says. I just want to read this to you. Let us help with your research needs. Customer service is our number one priority. Our mission is to provide purpose-bred beagles for research that increases and exceeds the experimentations of the research community.
Gross.
We are USDA Class A dog breeder, which honestly means crap. I'm telling you right now, the standards are garbage. All the dog needs to do is be in a cage and be able to just turn around. That's it. That's the standard. Okay. The as well as a USDA licensed Class R research facility. We are committed to the highest standards of health and quality, which is backed by our bunch of letters, blah, 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 international accreditation for animal care and welfare. Yeah, this is a garbage facility, and I'm glad that they're being shut down July 1st. In the meantime, the dogs are stuck in there, you know, being bred. They're not really taken care of. They've never seen the light of day because they've been in this facility for their whole life. And it just really, really gets me mad. So I just want you to know about that. So if you feel moved by this story, if you like beagles or dogs in general, give the Dane County Sheriff's Office a call and let them know that you want the dogs released to rescue. You know, I'll give a shout out again and again and again to these animal advocates that went there and got the dogs out. And, you know, facing harassment, facing arrest, many of them were arrested. So we don't know what's going to happen to them, what charges will be brought to them, you know. But places like this, they want to set a precedent. So I'm sure that they are going to make things difficult for these animal people. So anyway, that's the story about that. I kind of wish, like... Wow. The woman I know who did this, she's on Facebook, and I just said to her, I want to give you a hug. And she was like, yes, I would love a hug from you. And I might see her tomorrow. I don't know if she'll be at Humane Lobby Day at the State Capitol tomorrow, but I will. I'll give her a hug. I'm also going to tell her the next time you do something like this to let me know, because I want to get involved. At least I could, you know, I might not be able to crawl through a window and crawl in because I'm 65 years old.
Oh, I think you can.
I think I probably could, right?
Yeah.
But I at least could drive one of the cars, you know, and transport the dogs and, you know, get them out of there. And, you know, I would risk arrest, you know, to help and to stand up for something that you believe in, you know, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so they you know, I've talked about this many times on the air. The reason why most of dogs that are used are beagles, and beagles are they're a good size. They don't weigh too much. They're not too big. They're not too small. They're kind of in between. Their demeanor, that's the main thing, is that they're very, very loyal and very, very kind and
docile.
And yeah, exactly, Robert. And, you know, they're very easily manipulated, even if you're hurting them or, you know, causing them pain and discomfort. They're going to kind of just take it and go along, you know. So
call that number again. We got less than a minute when.
Oh, yeah. Let's have that number again. It's 608-284-6800. Give the Dane County Sheriff's a call tomorrow and just tell them to please release the 8 beagles to adoption. These 8 beagles were being taken, you know, they were just about to be put into a transport car to get to go to safety, and they were snatched by the sheriff's department.
Yeah. Call
1-608-284-6800.
Let them know, release these puppies. These are our relatives, and this is so horrific that this goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Robert.
No, thank you, Wendy. Hey, have a good time tomorrow at the
Humane Lobby Day the Minnesota State Capitol. Yes, I will. We have 75 people signed up, so that's exciting.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Hopefully, I'll see you tomorrow. Ho-wa. Peenigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians. We have been called Native American. We have been called hostile. We have been called pagan. We have been called militant. We have been called many names.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and on the...
Around the world.
Around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.